Noah Hill had a big surprise earlier this week. He came to a baseball game for his brother Luke, and nobody knew he was coming. Now that reminded me of a little trick he did a few years ago when Luke was playing baseball and Noah was at college, and Noah sent me a text message and he said, "I'm coming home. I'm coming to the baseball. I want it to be a surprise, so don't tell Mama." Well, what'd you tell me for if you wanted it to be a surprise? What am I, chopped liver? I'm the daddy. Why didn't you surprise me? Why'd Mama get the surprise? Well, I think we all know that answer. Those of us who've had mothers know that they hold a special place in our heart, because they do special things for us. They nurture us. They love us. And in many ways are one of the greatest examples of the affection of our Lord above has for us is in the love of a mother. Wasn't it? Why Jesus said, as he spoke of the people in Jerusalem, when he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to gather you under my wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks to shelter them, to comfort them, to nurture them." Such is the beauty and love that is exemplified by Jesus' very earthly mother, Mary. It was Mary. Mary who nurtured the infant church after our Lord was resurrected, who became the spiritual, the nurturing, the emotional leader, I certainly believe, of our very Christian faith. You can't discredit the work of women in ministry, and especially our Lord's mother, Mary, the giver of grace, as Scripture tells us. The one who brought glory to the Father above by gifting our world with His Son and our Savior. You see, family, not only a mother's love, but family, whether it be a father, a grandmother, a grandparent, offers to us examples of the loving relationship in just a bleak way of what God has for us. I often say to people, not everyone has had a positive mother who was a wonderful role model like Jennifer Huddleston's had. Maybe it was someone else who gifted your life intimately with the affection of Christ. Whoever that loved one was, that family member, or that intimate friend, may that be a sign and a symbol for us during this season of Lent, journeying toward Easter, of God's affection for us as His children. You know, Jesus exemplified in our text this journey, as John chronicles it, as he tells the story, this familiar passage of Jesus turning over the tables in the temple. That just before this event in John's gospel, John places this event very early in Jesus' ministry. 3 years before his passion, where Matthew and Mark show Jesus turning over the temples in Holy Week. Here's where John places it. Right after Jesus' first miracle, turning the water into wine. Yes, it was real wine. Turning the water into wine at the bequest of his mama. She inspired him to offer life-giving love to those who were at the banquet. You know, in many ways, they were facing shame by running out of what was going to be a joyous celebration. Mary had a passion for all those around her. She wanted Christ to exemplify His love to enhance their journey, their joyous celebration. Isn't that what God gives to us? Through the love of Christ. Yes, we are saved by God's grace and for the gift of heaven, but Jesus wants us to know daily the joy, the celebration of our salvation. And one of the greatest ways we do that, friends, I believe this with every fiber in my body. You've heard me preach this many times. One of the greatest ways our joy is enhanced and we celebrate our salvation more fervently is through this holy act that we call worship. A time to set apart from the busyness of work, career, life, to have a day of holy rest and restoration as we proclaim God's glory and worship our Lord in thanksgiving for all the blessings we've been graced with. See, I don't think it's a coincidence. In our scripture today, that Jesus, in his affection for his mother, also exemplified his affection for his Father in heaven. Did you hear it in our text today? You see, Jesus came into the place of worship. And the place of worship had been desecrated. The sacred space for people like you and me and those of you listening virtually this morning in worship had been corrupted. Jesus said these words, "This is my Father's house. This is my Father's house, and my affection for Him and for you as His people searching to be restored through His grace and love angered our Lord Jesus Christ to His core." Friends, worship is central to our faith and to our life's joy. I'm not saying that to you today, giving you preacher talk. I'm telling you as a person who's journeyed without worship as a central part of my life, without daily thanksgiving being core to my prayer journey. And I found when I center myself more in worship, more in thanksgiving, more in cherishing the sacred spaces God has given to us, there is more joy and strength for my journey. Strength to endure the stress, the depression, the brokenness of life. Not to always make it go away. Let's be honest. Life is not easy, right? If you're hearing that for the first time, I hate to be the bearer of that news, but life is not easy. And it never will be. But one thing I'm convinced of in my core, there is strength for the journey when we sojourn with Christ. Friends, I've lived it. I've lived it away from Christ and with Christ. And I found one of the central ways to grow in my intimacy, my relationship with Him, is to spend time with Him in worship and His sacred setting. You know, think about it this way. My mama Gladys, one of the great prayer warriors the world has ever known, one of the great givers of love as she nurtured so many kids growing up at First Baptist Daycare, and one of the the best cook the world's ever known. My grandmother's pretty good too now. But Mamaw Gladys would do all that cooking, do all that giving. You know what she wanted from us? To come eat with her. To spend time with her. To just visit. I think she's a little bit that way too, don't y'all? I think Mama's a little bit that way. She likes her boys coming home. Lynn probably does. What do we want? Return from those that we love? We just want their presence. Would God be any different? Would our Heavenly Father not also want us to express our affection and gratitude by spending quality time? That's what we're talking about with Him. And how better to do that than in worship and daily thanksgiving? So it was Jesus' passion for His heavenly parent that He turned over the tables and He proclaimed with great anger that this is My Father's house and it's holy. But you know, I'm convinced of this. That when Jesus turned over those tables that day and ran those animals out of that sacred space, you know what? I think He had someone else in mind too. I think as He thought of His Father in heaven, He also thought of another person in particular. I'm reminded of a story that Fred Craddock once told about his first pastorate. I'm going to call it the Brunswick Church where he served in ministry. He said he was a young greenhorn seminarian, just trying to do his best to preach the gospel, and he'd become one of the great preachers our world has ever known, raised up just the road at Humboldt, Tennessee. Craddock said that a new factory came into the area. And he spoke to the church leaders, the deacons, and he said, you know, we need to reach out to these folks who are moving in here. We need to minister to them. They need to be part of the church. And one of the elders, deacons, spoke up and said, I don't believe they'd fit in. Well, he said, well, I don't know if they'd fit in, but they need to hear the gospel. They need to be loved. No, I just don't believe it'd be a good fit. Kind of went on long. They decided to pick up the discussion again the next Sunday. After worship, they had their meeting, and shortly into the meeting, someone made a motion that no one can become a member of this church unless they own property in our county. The motion was quickly seconded, and it passed unanimously, except for my vote. And then they reminded me I didn't have a vote. He said a few years ago, years after that exchange, he and his wife Nettie were driving in that same region and took a bit to find it, but they found that Brunswick church where he served that first pastor. And he said he drove up and the building looked just the same. Except there was a parking lot. Now, what had once been a dwindling congregation, that was filled with cars. And there was a big sign right out on front of the building that said, barbecue, all you can eat. Come on in. He said, so we went in and we saw all kind of people there. Music type, John. People with tattoos. People who were bikers. People who were all different races. He looked at Nettie and he said, you know, it's a good thing this is no longer Brunswick Church. Because if it was, these people wouldn't be welcomed here. Friends, in our scripture, Jesus saw people trading in the outer courts of the temple. What's wrong with that if you're of the Jewish tradition? The temple is inside, right? The temple is sacred. That's where we worship. That's where we offer our sacrifice. The outer courts, that's for the other people, not the chosen race. You see, the outer court, friends, is where we would have been. The Gentiles. Those who Jesus said, this is their sacred space. they are holy in the sight of the Lord. Friends, I give thanks on this third Sunday of Lent that Jesus turned over the tables for you in me, in all of us, to conquer our brokenness, to restore us in joy of worship, to say all are welcome in my house. For my love is unending and abundant for all creation. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are grateful for the gift of worship. For the gift that reminds us that in this holy act of offering our praise and proclaiming your glory, we are renewed to the joy of our salvation. May we never forget that this is your church. May we be a welcoming body to all people in their brokenness, just as you embraced us in ours. May we be the light that conquers the darkness in our world. May we be the love that overcomes the hate that separates us. It's time for us now, more than ever, to be the church that is reflective of you, Jesus, who loves all. All the time. Will you inspire our ministry and empower all of our churches who worship and serve to your glory? Will you be with our nation? We pray for our president. We pray for our Senate, the Congress, the Supreme Court, for our military, those who defend our freedom. Pray that cooler heads and unified heads will prevail in our land as we celebrate what we hold in common as a nation, to serve and reflect you in the world around us. We pray for the sick that are on our prayer list, those that we mentioned today, the ones who are grieving, the ones who are hurting. We celebrate joyfully those who are recovering. So God, right now, we pour out our hearts for every person who's praying with us right now. And we pray with every person who's praying for us. God, you know our wants, our heart's desires, but more importantly, you know our needs. And we pray for each other right now, whatever the burden is, whether it be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, or professional, you are the physician that brings a balm and nurtures us. Will you answer our prayers, and they can be in accordance with your holy will. Pour forth miracles of grace for your glory. And we pray, God, not only for those closest to us and for ourselves, but for those from whom we're estranged and those we're distanced from. Will you bring healing and wholeness to our relationship? Will you help us, oh God, to be part of your solution for a world bringing about your kingdom here on earth? And now as your children, we join our voices as one and say in prayer the words you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, I ask you now to join with me in affirming your faith in God our Savior. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, as we go forth now, as light of Christ, as love in the world, go with God's blessing for us as His people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance, His gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Randa B., for reading on short notice.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good morning. Welcome to Rick.
Yes, sounds good. Here you go.
Thank you. Is that for me? Which one, mind you, where we're going to? Which message?
The one on the way to y'all's house?
Yes.